and Mason. I nodded toward him. You'll need to notify all the wolves in the district. Let them know we will need to fight. We've been living in peace for too long. We've gone soft while they've grown strong. We will need to teach our people once again how to draw up their swords.
Alex raised his hands.
Don't you mean draw up their semi-automatic weapons?
Ethan scowled. Bullets don't behead.
If you're a good shot, they do.
Alex smirked. Not the point. I sighed and tried again. They need to know how to protect themselves. I stood. And we need to keep our secret from the humans at all costs.
It's always such a joy.
Alex yawned.
Protecting the weak while they continue to kill off one another, without any realization they're still alive and breathing, because we choose to protect them.
I smiled, as more visions of Alex's future laid themselves out before my eyes. Maybe I would get my payback a lot sooner than I originally thought.
One more thing, I added, waiting until every set of eyes was on me.
You are your strongest when you're mated. The room fell silent. I'm calling numbers for you both. You will have a human by sunset next week, or so help me. I'll kill you myself.
Mason let out a guttural howl as he fell to his knees, then got up and ran out of the room. All eyes fell to Alex. He was pale, so very pale.
Is that going to be a problem, Alex?
No, he swallowed. No, my king, it is not.
His thoughts screamed at me. His words and actions said otherwise. Because Alex might be a lot of things, but he was loyal. He would obey me in this, and it would eventually be for his own good.
Eventually.
And what about you?
Ethan asked.
Me? I grinned for the first time since I'd woken up.
I have Stephanie.
But you have wings,
Genesis blurted out.
Isn't that forbidden? Red Bull,
Alex laughed, also has wings, but I touch my lips to that can like it's my job.
Stephanie shoved him out of the chair. He fell to the floor with a giant thump, while Ethan laughed.
We were mated before all of this, and regardless, I'm still a dark one. I just have actual wings. Believe me, you cannot redeem the damned.
Ethan stood.
Seems to me you're wrong. What did you say happened to Sariel again? He went dark? Lost his mind? Ceased to exist?
He was taken, Stephanie blurted out before I got the chance, with over 5,000 angels as an escort.
The room was silent, and then Ethan added,
Seems to me you can very well redeem the damned, doesn't it?
He was right, because Sariel had been cursed. Yet, something told me he was still present, not in the same way as before, but aware.
Stephanie slid her hand into mine.
Can we go talk?
No, I grumbled, pulling her hard against my chest. I want to kiss. I want to make love. I want to forget the fact that you stabbed me in the chest and ran away. That we can do anything else is off the table.
He gonna throw her on the table right here, then?
Alex asked, from his semi-comfortable position on the floor. Even leaning back against the counter, he looked like a sexual deviant, just waiting for a lady in a short skirt to walk by, so he could steal a peek while she peeled her clothes off in ecstasy.
Upstairs.
Stephanie smiled, pulling me in for a searing kiss. I was already carrying her as fast as I could through the house, when I heard Ethan yell,
Please don't burn down the room. Keep your feathers under control, Cassius.
Chapter 43. Stephanie.
I love you. I pressed another kiss against his mouth as he ripped the rest of my clothes from my body, his hand sliding down my waist. Then he lifted me by the hips and tossed me roughly onto the bed. I was a tangled mess in the sheets as I tried to pull myself up and give him my best glare. Instead, all I could do was openly gape at his naked body. Nothing about Cassius was imperfect, and it was so amazingly difficult not to stare at every plane of his body. His muscles bulged with every breath he took. And, like a knight from the fairy tales I'd read so long ago, his dark black hair cascaded over his shoulders in a magnificent fashion. He looked both wicked and heroic.
"I desire you."
His eyes fluttered closed.
"More than you will ever know, and my love for you."
A silver tear ran down his cheek.
"Would move mountains."
Tears blurred my vision.
"His job was to watch life,"
Cassius whispered, pulling me into his lap.
"And I plan on watching yours very, very carefully."
He kissed my lips hard.
"Slowly."
His hands gripped my sides.
"Thoroughly."
Our bodies joined. There was no warning, nothing but him moving within me, watching me, loving me. The moment was so beautiful, so perfect, I could have wept. Instead, I placed my cold hands on his body and felt warmth. Gasping, I jerked back. "Why aren't you cold?"
"A gift,"
Cassius whispered across my lips as he moved languidly against me.
"So that when you are tempted to fall to the darkness, you see light instead."
Our mouths tangled and broke free.
"You'll see me."
Instead of closing my eyes, I watched. I watched him. I locked on to his light and held on for dear life as he embraced me, rocked into me, loved me with his words, with a language I didn't understand as he pressed gentle kisses to my face. And as my body released, the darkness dissipated as if it had never been there in the first place. I had no strength to ask. But Cassius must have known it was there, because his next words were,
"Where there is darkness, there will always be light."
Body trembling, I whispered, "What are you?"
"The same."
He hesitated for a brief second, then added,
"Fallen, evil, a curse, abomination. I'm all of those things."
"But..." He silenced me with a kiss.
"I'm just more angel than human now."
"So, 70-30? He shook his head. 80-20? Another shake. I opened my mouth again.
"Stop."
He laughed. The sound did funny things to me, making me want to kiss him and never stop.
"More like 99-1.
Oh. I felt my eyes go big.
"Still fallen."
"By 1%.
"Numbers."
He shrugged and raised one eyebrow.
"What are they anyways?"
"Important?" I teased, licking his lower lip while a small growl erupted between his teeth. "I take that as a no."
"I'm the same."
He smiled gently and captured my gaze.
"I still hunger for you."
"And the bird outside my window?" With a burst of sunny laughter, Cassius threw me back onto the mattress and braced himself over me.
"I won't eat your blue jay."
"Now," I said.
"I love you."
He sobered.
"Completely."
"Stay with me forever?" We linked hands, palm to palm, as our fingers clenched together.
"I can do that."
He brushed a soft, warm kiss across my forehead.
"I can do that."
Epilogue. Alex. I sensed the sex, or love. A female would scrunch up her nose, or possibly be aroused by my use of the word. After all, when you were with your mate, it was love and sex. A beautiful, heady mixture of sugars, spices, alluring scents that would drive any sane person.
Just the opposite, I supposed. With a scowl, I tossed the tennis ball hard against the wall over and over again. The rhythmic beat was the only thing calming my racing heart. Well, that and the distinct impression that if I asked Ethan to slow it, he'd probably kill me and say, oops, afterwards. Mated. I rolled the word around in my head. I wasn't the type. At all. To love one person went against every cell in my body, every fiber of my being. I was a siren. I did not love one. I loved all. And I loved them well. All sizes, all shapes, every sex, every plant, animal, creation. I loved everything. I spread myself around as all good sirens did, and I was damned good at it. The very thought that I'd be tied to a measly human for eternity had me tempted to write a suicide note and steal Genesis' little purple feather, draining my own immortality mid-orgasm. The sound of my door opening and closing softly interrupted my bitter thoughts, and then the scent of cedar and dirt joined me on the floor. Mason slumped next to me, silent, and then grabbed the other tennis ball and started slamming it against the wall opposite me. We stayed there for hours, neither of us talking, until finally the wolf opened his mouth. I can't do this. I knew how it would work. One of us would go first. We'd call one number. The ceremony would take place. We'd be given time, and then the next number would be called. It never happened all at once. Maybe I was feeling suicidal, because the first words out of my mouth were, I'll go first. This concludes Untouchable Darkness by Rachel Van Dyken. Narrated by Chris Chambers and Holly Jackson. Copyright 2015 by Rachel Van Dyken. This unabridged audiobook is published by arrangement with Rachel Van Dyken, care of Trident Media Group, LLC, and was produced in the year 2018 by Tantor Media Incorporated, a division of Recorded Books, which holds the copyright thereto. Please visit Tantor.com for more information on our growing library of unabridged audiobooks.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.